Affairs Committee will now come to order. It is 1:35 p.m. Thursday, April 18th, 2023 in Belt 105. Members present are Senator Gray Jackson, Senator Bjorkman, and myself, Chair Dunbar. We also are joined by Senator Clint Bishop in the room. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business. Please take this time to silence your cell phones for the duration of the meeting. Before we begin, I would like to thank Juliana Singh, the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Recording Secretary, and Doug Bridges from the Juno LIO for staffing the committee today. So we have one, thank you. It's Tuesday, not Thursday. Appreciate it. So we have one item on the agenda today, which is an introductory hearing on SB 79, Reclassification of First Class Cities, by Senator Bishop. We also have invited testimony from Nils Andreessen, the Executive Director of AML. There we go. So would you guys like to join us at the table and begin presenting the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Clint Bishop, Senator for Senate District R. If it was a state, it would be the third largest state in the union. Cheyenne?
For the record, Cheyenne Dibert, staff to Senator Bishop.
Wonderful. So would you like to begin presenting the bill?
Yes, sir. We'd like to thank the committee and the chairman for allowing us this time to present the opening comments and first introduction of this bill. As we had talked about a little earlier today, that this is Cheyenne's first bill, and she's been doing a lot of work on it with my colleague in the back of the room. And I appreciate you taking time to hear from us this morning. But to the matter at heart, this is Senate Bill 79 is a companion to Senate Bill 69, which I think your committee will be hearing in the not too distant future. But it allows first class cities that have fallen before 400 residents a standard for becoming and maintaining a first class city as a way to reclassify themselves to a second class city. And why did I say that? It's a school in question here as a Tanana High School, which formerly was under the Yukon-Koyukuk School District's jurisdiction. And you look in your data in your binders, the city grew, they took a vote to become a first class city. And as some of our rural communities have evolved over the last 15, 20 years, populations have declined. So first class city, their tax base has gone down. It's become harder to fund the school. And both sides are in agreement that to bring this Tanana school, the Tanana Wolves, back under Yukon-Koyukuk's jurisdiction. So that's the broad base for the impetus of the bill here today. And thank you for hearing this bill, and the rest I'll pass off to Ms. Dibert here.
Thank you, Senator. I should also note for the record, we have online Jedediah Smith from the Division of Community and Regional Affairs. He's available for questions. Ms. Dibert, would you like to go through the sectional with us?
Thank you, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Cheyenne Dibert, and I am staff to Senator Bishop. Thank you for hearing Senate Bill 79. Section 1, AS 29.04, Classification of Municipalities, adds a new section relating to reclassification of first-class cities with less than 400 permanent residents. This section does three things. First, allows a first-class city with a population of less than 400 persons to be reclassified as a second-class city if the council submits a written request to the Local Boundary Commission. Second, gives the commission 10 days after receiving the request to notify the council that the city is eligible for reclassification if the agency verifies that the population is less than 400 people. And third, gives the council 30 days after being notified by the commission that the city is eligible for reclassification to reject it. If the council rejects the reclassification, it may not petition the agency for 1 year. If the council does not reject the reclassification, then the reclassification takes effect after the date of notification of eligibility. Section 2, provides for an immediate effective date.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Dibert. So I think I'll pause for questions. If I don't see any, we'll go first to Senator Bjorkman, like now or after Mr. Andreessen has done his
name? Let's do after.
Okay. So we will have Mr. Andreessen give his testimony, invited testimony, and then we will have some questions. Nils, can you hear us?
Yes.
All right. Would you be so kind?
Hi. Yeah. Nils Andreessen. I'm the executive director of the Alaska Municipal League for the record. And pleased to be able to offer some support for this bill, which is a great way to improve the ability for local governments to exert local control over decisions that affect their communities. This reclassification really is an expedited way to achieve and meet the needs that community leaders have expressed, not just in this community, but could in others, to the extent that it applies. And reclassification is really just responsive to circumstances. It reflects changes within a community, and especially fairly critical changes within a community where population drops below thresholds that are in law around current classification and allows communities to be responsive to those verities. So very supportive of this expedited methodology for reclassifying from first class to a second class city, and appreciate the committee's hearing of this and consideration, and ask for your support.
Thank you, Mr. Andreessen. So now we have a question from Senator Bjorkman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Senator Bishop, staff, and Mr. Andreessen for being here today. I'm wondering, as we kind of look at the issue of combining school districts, can you tell us, any of you, why reclassification from a first-class city to a second-class city is the right tool to fix the problem of combining school districts?
Through the chair, if we could have did it any other way without going to the Boundary Commission, we would have done it. But as the my understanding is, the law pertains to the Boundary Commission's for first class to second class cities, this is the vehicle we had to use. Last year, we did the same thing for Rampart School. It was in the Yukon Flats school district. But because it wasn't in a second class city and it was in the REAA, the two school districts agreed, the two school boards agreed. And even then, we had to run it was a governor's bill, one sentence bill to do that reclassification. So this is a little more cumbersome than we would have hoped for, but this is, at the end of the day, the only way we could accomplish the mission.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. So I guess I would like a little more information just for my own edification, but I think for people that might be watching this, what are the main differences between a first-class and second-class city that this would address? So clearly there's a school district issue. Are there any other issues that would be impacted by this reclassification?
Chair Dunbar, for the record, Cheyenne Dibert, the difference between a first class and a second class is a first class is their schools are solely funded by the tax base of the community. And the second class cities are funded by the state. And so for this instance, Tanana School City no longer has a tax base to fund their schools. And if they transferred over to the second class city, then the state will be able to fund the fund the school district. Yes, that's.
Because it would then be within the Yukon-Koyukuk School District's jurisdiction.
Yes.
So a follow-up then. My understanding, the first class city, and I'm familiar with sort of the home rule municipality in Anchorage, is a little bit different, I think. So the first class city, I assume they also receive state funds, but you're saying they have a local contribution?
Yes, that's the clarification
I was looking for. Senator Bjorkman, do you have a follow-up question? You're looking pensive over there.
Thank you.
If I could just follow up to your comment there.
Yeah.
They had, if it's my understanding, going off of memory, they had to, I think, assign. They didn't have enough cash flow to help with their contribution. They had to assign some teacher housing to leverage their cash flow to make them whole, working with the Yukon-Koyukuk School District for this year. That's how tight the finances are there.
Thank you, Senator Bjorkman.
And joining, so if Tanawha City School District joins the Yukon-Koyukuk School District, does the Yukon-Koyukuk School District, that entity, do they provide a local contribution, or are they within the REAA?
Go ahead.
Not by law. They don't have to. Yes, they don't have to provide a tax contribution by law as a second-class city.
Through the chair, there is some benefits because Tanawha School is on biomass, so the heating bills aren't as high as they are in some of our other rural communities, and they're on city water and sewer as well. So there are some other benefits that the city brings to the table, even going with this new arrangement.
Because some of the funding that's currently going to Tanawha would go to Yukon-Koyukuk, is that correct?
Well, it could be in kind or in lieu or fees from the Yukon-Koyukuk School District back to the city for water and sewer.
Okay. Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I really appreciate you asking that question because it was a question I had, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Senator Bishop, and your staff for bringing this forward. But my question is, are there any other differences in first class as opposed to second class other than dealing with school issues? Thank you.
You know, we also have Jedediah Smith from DCRA. I don't know if he wants to answer that as well, or if Ms. Dibert, if you would prefer to handle it.
Let's ask DCRA if he has any comments first.
Mr. Smith, did you hear Senator Gray Jackson's question?
Yes, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, yeah, hi. Thank you. For the record, my name is Jedediah Smith. I'm staff to the Local Boundary Commission. I believe the question was what are some of the differences between a first-class city and a second-class city? Is that correct?
That's correct.
So I think in the context of this bill, obviously the fundamental difference between a first class and a second class city in the unorganized borough is the power to operate a school district. A first class city is obligated to do so, and a second class city is prohibited from doing so. But another difference, there are a couple of other differences. A first class city whether it's in the borough or in the unorganized borough, is required to conduct a single audit for financial purposes. A second-class city generally, depending on some of grant funding eligibility or not, or how much they spend, may just adopt a certified financial statement. So that's one difference. But then another difference is that Title 29 says that a first-class city shall have planning and platting powers, and a second-class city may exercise those powers. So those are really the biggest differences between a second-class and a first-class city.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Do we have any, Senator Bjorkman.
Thank you, Chair Dunbar. To Mr. Smith again to follow up on that, are there differences, Mr. Smith, in the different powers that first and second class cities can vote themselves to have within the unorganized borough? my experience is in the organized borough, and I know that first class boroughs and cities can vote themselves significant powers and authorities, whereas second class may not too. Is that the same in the unorganized borough?
Yeah, I think that's correct. Through the chair, Senator Bjorkman, another fundamental difference is that the powers are vested with the city council as opposed to in a first class city as opposed to a second class city. That would apply for boroughs. I don't believe that is actually the same for cities, though.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions before we move to public testimony? Okay. Take 1 second here. Unfortunately, our timer is being a little finicky. Okay, so we'll move on now. I'm open public testimony. It looks like we have at least one person online, maybe two. We'll start. Let me start. Is there anyone in the room who would like to testify on this bill? Not seeing anyone, we'll move on to the phone. I have Mr. Ed Martin. Mr. Martin, would you like to testify to this bill?
Yes, my name is Ed Martin, Jr. I reside at 702 Lawton Street in Kenai.
Okay, you have 2 minutes. I'll start you now.
Thank you very much, Chair and members of this committee. Hi, Jesse. How you doing? I'm dead against this, and I'll tell you why. This is a backdoor way to skirt the current law. As far as I'm concerned, if there isn't enough people in a community to cover and carry the tax base, then it must, size down. Now, to say that there isn't any tax base there, I remember just recently they built a road to Tanana. In fact, back in the early 80s, I built an airport there of my company. And those people in that community, if they can't support themselves with the airport, if they can't support themselves with a road going there, if they can't support any of this, they don't. It's unconscionable that they should be able to continue under the status they are now. They should be deemed a second class by virtue of law. And if they can't maintain that and do it appropriately through the board commission. In fact, I bring your attention to one of the documents in this package of information to you, and it happens to state a conclusion. And the conclusion is, to me, as I read it, this isn't the only community that's faced with this, my friends. There's many more that are unlawfully in existence because of the population and the tax base. This is unconscionable that you people are, once again, allowing some kind of legislation come forward that affects a lot of people's lives, whether or not they're taxed within that community or whether or not that community will raise the taxes to support that community. There's a whole reason. The whole state was created under this whole thing about whether or not Alaska could be a state and whether or not the federal government could support it. And they took away mineral rights from all of us so that the state could exist. I think there's not enough people on your committee that understands what this is about.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. Your 2 minutes have expired.
Thank you.
Wrap up. Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Note for the record, we've been joined by Senator Giesel, who's at 151. I see another person on the, but it doesn't look like Mr. Bridges, if they intend to testify. Okay. That was the only testifier. So with that, we'll close public hearing. We will set this bill aside. If the public has written testimony you'd like to share, please email committee members or senate.community.and.regional.affairs at akledge.gov. That's it for today. Thank you for a productive hearing. The Senate Community Regional Affairs will meet next Thursday, April 20th, 2023, at 11:30, and my staff will be in touch with the details. With that, the time is, 1:55, and this committee hearing is adjourned.